episode 149 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, all of us. I believe I said, if I didn't fix it right now, 147 on the last episode. It was 148. I screwed up. I was too excited for Shane and Ross to get their debuts that I just I got jittery with it. I screwed it up.
Yeah, well, we're a couple of good-looking, charming men here. So.
Well, you guys both have facial hair to different degrees, and that plays well with me anytime.
Yes.
Facial hair is what's up.
We're real guys
here. For people who can't see me, and, well, there's one picture of me somewhere on the website, if people can find it, but I have facial hair, so anyway. But you don't really
want to
see
it. Very nice facial hair.
Yeah, thank you. This is like, groomed. This is the longest it's been, and part of it is because NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know. But anyway.
And this is a beard podcast, right?
Yeah, yes. We actually did have at one point the Rogue Beard Beer on, so that was epic.
Nice.
It's okay. That's an okay beer.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're just going to get right to doing stuff. There's another warm-up beer. And
yes.
I'm not going to turn it down. This was brought by Shane and Ross once again. So thank you. And that Hidden Hop Yard by Manor Hill last episode was very good.
It is delicious and
so
succulent.
A little bit left. So this is the, well, why did I volunteer myself? I don't know what the name of this brewery is.
Is that the Dougie? Is
that how you say it? D-U-G-G-E-S.
Duche?
Douches?
Douches?
It's from Sweden, and I don't know how this...
Dege, I don't
how
know.
They would Dege. Pronounce it, but it's with our boy Brian Strumke from
collab.
Yes,
there you go.
And it's the Tropic Punch Ale, Swedish sour ale, sour ale brewed with peach, mango, and passion fruit.
Oh, that sounds good.
It is so good.
It's delicious.
You can go ahead and.
All right. I won't turn that down. It's in a little like baby bottle.
It's
a small size bottle.
11.2, I think.
You know, honestly, I wish they would do more of these for 11.2.
Rather than like just bombers.
Yes. Right? Well, I mean, what I would call this is what some people were calling nippers. You know, like smaller bottles. Although
sure.
People were saying
yum.
Nippers is like 7 ounce.
Yeah, I mean, I like the smaller format bottle because if you look at the description on that, you're taking a chance. And
yes.
I'm glad we took the chance because this beer is phenomenal.
And if it was a 22 ounce, it would be a $12 bottle. But this is a fat $6 joyride.
Nice. So the way it looks, it's very yellow,
yes.
Hazy, doesn't look very filtered. It's got a decent head to it when I poured it, although I also swirled it around. Big bubbles on it.
Yeah, it is.
It smells kind of like Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like
which,
a nice Tropic Punch.
I will say this. I'm typically not big on tropical punch stuff.
Okay.
But it's because of a bad situation involving grain alcohol and Hawaiian Punch.
I'm all about that juice.
I know. There's a bad situation.
Jungle
with those things involved at every one of Shane's parties.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm drinking liquor, it's going to be... It's going to be liquor.
It's going to be 98% alcohol.
I really got to hand it to him on this, though. It smells just like Tropical Punch. Like, just like Tropical Punch. And
this,
to be able to nail that, it's kind of crazy.
This beer is a 10 as far as selling or marketing your beer. Like, not lying. What it says on the outside of that package, when you open
like,
this,
oh,
that
yeah.
is what you are. You bought it, and you got exactly what you
yeah.
wanted.
I don't remember what you said in there, but I smell very strongly peach, mango, strawberry,
passion fruit.
Passion fruit, that's right. I'm not super
passion
familiar with
not
passion
that.
Fruit.
Strong.
I think
it's not very commodified in our culture, so we haven't all had it and had fake versions of it and 20
yeah.
different Starburst flavors of it.
I think the dominant aromatic is definitely peach, and as a kid,
mm-hmm.
my favorite candy was peach rings.
It's peach rings.
And mango. Mango is way up there
yeah.
as well. It's like right after the peach. Because mango, in my opinion, gives a little slight bit of a piney quality.
Yep.
That's the sourness on that is really good. It kind of like... It starts ramping up a little bit where you think it's just going to keep going and going, and then it just, like, stops, like, maybe halfway to where you
yeah.
think it's going,
yeah.
and then comes back down. That's a nice ride.
Yeah.
This is a delicious beer.
That's very... it's Tropical Punch, man. But this is not Tropical Punch that makes me think bad things.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's from, like, a selling perspective. Like, we tasted a bunch of coworkers on this. Through hand selling on the stock guy's parts and then purchases, employee purchases, we blew through a case of 24 of these bottles, individually marked, you know, for, it's individual sale, it's not six packs or four packs, and luckily, you know, Legends had another case from 12%, so we're blowing right through that.
That is really good.
It's so good.
And, Shane, you were saying, like, those sugar-coated peach ring candy gummies? Yes, that tastes just like peach, that.
Right? Like gummies.
Yeah.
Damn.
But not in a way... Not in a way
that's gross. Like,
yeah.
No, it's... Yeah. Wow. That is high quality. I mean, here's the thing. I know there's another brewery involved, but I always like Stillwater stuff. I've never not liked Stillwater stuff. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had...
very good.
The one beer I've had by Stillwater that I wasn't totally wowed by was just the Stateside Saison. But that's just because it's a straight-up Saison. Everything else I've had, it's like nuts. And actually, it was on the podcast, but... A week ago, we had Goza Gone Wild.
Ooh.
Jesus,
we just had that on draft. And
it was
phenomenal beer.
That's crazy. To me,
Stillwater is an acquired. You know, some of the stuff is way out there. If you look at some of the smoked stouts and the crazy Brett beers and stuff like that, this is a beer that the biggest, you know, beer aficionados love, and as well as
newbies.
Yeah, like
totally
I said,
newbies.
We're non-beer drinkers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, you can taste this beer, and someone will like it so much that they're used to buying, you know, $6.99 Natural Light. They'll spend $6 on one beer because it's that good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like...
I can hear them now. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Hammer, steel water... Is that, no one around
owned by
here talks like that, but,
owned by AB and Bev. Actually, I think when you move out to Chicago, you should just adopt that as your accent.
There we go.
Oh, I've already planned. I do it already, and everyone, well, like, you know, just the thick, horrible Baltimore accent.
Oh. A's and nitty boos. Yeah,
yeah, I'll take a couple Coors Lights and, there's no damn crab cakes around here.
Yeah.
The hell y'all eat, huh?
Yeah, you could,
I was up there at Hopleaf. They didn't have any good food. I don't see any soft shell sandwiches on there. No Old Bay around here either.
You might end up with no job, though,
yeah.
If you did that. People would be like, I don't even know what he's speaking. He can't converse with human beings.
It's the whitest thing I've ever heard.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So what did you guys want to talk about this episode? I know you had plenty of ideas coming into the recording session, and pick one. Let's go with it.
We wanted to do just a little bit more, like, side projects.
Okay.
So we each have, like, one primary side project right now that we're both working on. Mine is a video series that I'm doing with the website Tabletop Journal. Conveniently, you know, office in... Baltimore.
Nice.
So the video series called Building 46, BLDG46. It's glassware focused, and I just, you know, I knew the guy who's doing the video editing, and his boss didn't know anything about beer, or knows very little, but is really a glassware aficionado, and that's something we all take for granted. Like, look at all the glasses on the table. Like,
yeah.
You know, and there's so many shapes we could have. We're sort of just conditioned to accept
that
16-ounce shaker pint glass.
Which is the worst, probably one of the worst ways to experience beer.
Yeah, honestly. Absolutely. I mean, I was trying to get smells out of this glass.
You're riling it up, covering it up.
Yeah.
Getting a quick sniff, cover it back up, rile it up again.
That's why you have to do it.
Yeah.
Because it flanges out at the top, the smells are going away from your face.
Yeah.
And when you're drinking, it's the same thing. Whereas, like, I have a Pipeworks goblet that I'm drinking out of for the warm-up beers. That funnels the aroma towards your nose while you're taking a sip, and obviously smell and taste are very closely related.
And if you want to hear me talk about that for several episodes, and I'll tell you what, they make me wear a nice shirt and tuck it in so I don't look
like a
big beer slob. And so that's what I'm doing. Shane has maybe even more fun... Also beer focused, but also, you know, it's his own thing, his own project.
But real quick, I did have a follow up on that. So you're talking about it's about glassware. Is it basically breaking down the different types of beer glassware?
Yes.
Like the different shapes and what it's good for?
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly that. And we talk about different suppliers, like, you don't go into specific price points, but, you know, some are more delicate, some are more durable, some are more cost effective. And it's just, you know, how much better an experience is it when you go to a restaurant and they have a unique and nicer feeling water glass and then proper beer glassware, wine glassware. Like, I'm spending a few extra bucks. I'm not batting an eye at it. Because it's just, they care about you and your experience, and that's part of it.
So where can people check it out?
It's on the tabletopjournal.com, and then there's a YouTube channel for Tabletop Journal and a specific series under that channel.
And is there a special uncensored version on, like, RedTube or XNXX?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, there's this glass from Libby. Libby does, like, a ton of glassware. And there's this glass from Libby. It's just their general all-purpose craft beer glass. It's got, like, a really solid, like, half-inch, just sturdy bottom. And so it's got good weight to it. The ergonomics are pretty universal. It's got some, it comes in thin, and then it bulges out, and then it comes back in, and it looks somewhat similar to, like, the Sam Adams pint glass, which we're all kind of familiar with, but it looks a little bit nicer, and there's a video of me just, like, looking at it and, like caressing it.
Like, molesting it hardcore.
Oh, my God. I got made fun of for that. I still get made fun of. Like, next time we go do a shoot, I'll get made fun of. Hey, you want to take the Libby glass in the bathroom or something?
Yeah. So now people can check it out.
Yeah, check. I don't remember what episode it is. But you'll see it. And when you'll feel uncomfortable. Yeah. As uncomfortable as everyone else has seen it.
It would be just like in the movie Cable Guy with Jim Carrey and Matthew Broderick, where he's, like, feeling the wall for the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick's in his bathrobes, and he, like, covers up a little more when he sees him.
The only people that liked that video were the people at Libby. The people at Libby were like, wow!
There you go.
Yeah.
Sex sells, right?
That's right.
There we go.
So, Shane, what are you up to, then?
I'm working on a couple things. So, all beer-oriented. So, one of the things I'm working on is City Cloak, which is a, keep calling it, like, an apparel project. I just designed our first glass today. So what it is, it's a beer, I guess.
It's like beer-centric
items. Like, you know, with t-shirts, glassware, everything's pretty much beer and music-focused. I think the two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And you can see Shane's, like, the influence of, like, music culture and music merch. And I think you're starting to see through design choices the influence of, like, skate culture on these items as well. I mean, there's certainly, like, starting to form.
It's like my fiance is, you know, looking at some of these ideas I'm coming up with stuff and talked about archetypes and how naturally I'm just starting to use, like, these archetypes and, you know, I guess that's just who I am. But so basically City Cloak is a project between me and two friends. One owns a print shop. One is just a great slacker of a guy. So he's
a business owner.
Yeah, he owned a record shop and has a strong understanding of music, and he's a huge beer fan. So he
understands the cultures of the target demographic.
Exactly, and he's definitely appreciates art in any form. So it was kind of a trifecta.
Some of the STEM graphics guys. I mean, the people they work with.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure they're doing some printing for Brewer's Art.
They did stuff for Post Topography and Dagger. Post Topography being, like, a noteworthy Baltimore headquartered design firm,
as well as Autobar downtown. So we're launching on May 7th, and that's our, like, kind of unofficial party. So we'll be printing some stuff. I think we're going to launch with 4 shirts. And then we're thinking about, like, what are we going to do for business cards?
Are you launching with the glassware?
Yeah, so we've got some really awesome glassware that we'll kind of announce soon. And instead of doing, like, business cards and, like, traditional stuff, we just ordered 1,000 guitar picks.
Okay.
So, you know, our business
and website. Matchbooks, right?
Yeah, matchbooks.
Cooler things.
Just, you know,
business cards.
I would like to see some one-hitter bottle openers here in the future. But so we're doing some unique stuff. I'm really excited. And then our official launch is May 14th at the Maryland Craft Beer Festival. And because the project was inspired by beer, which actually there's a beer that Independent brews that I designed called City Cloak that kind of help ignite the project. But at the Maryland Craft Beer Fest on May 14th when we launched, we're going to donate money per item to the Brewers Association of Maryland, which that money will be obviously thus spent on the local breweries and helping craft beer as a whole.
And essentially just getting our stupid laws changed.
Yeah, exactly, to help some of these people overcome some issues.
For people that don't... I hope people can sort of visualize things, but, like, do you want to talk about any design as an example? Because, like, it's still a little foggy if I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of stuff, and we didn't want to, like, do that thing where you, like, you know, you launch, like, all your designs and then get it out there. So we want to keep people kind of, like, interested in what we're doing. And one design that the guys from STEM, you know, was kind of a brainchild of mine was the Joy Division Unknown Pleasures album.
Okay, nice.
So we took the lines, and we actually placed a beer bottle in the lines. So okay. It's City Cloak Liquid Pleasures.
So what it sounds like to me is basically like a craft beer brand, like overall craft beer brand, but it's infused with music as an influence.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are like brewers and brewmasters, and they're all so music oriented.
That doesn't always come out in their brands. You know, everybody is Three Floyds. Right. You know, there's plenty of brewers that like metal, but not everybody works for a brewery where that is part of their brand image. And so it's like a creative outlet for them.
Yeah, and that's when starting the project, I'm thinking like, you know, it'd be cool to, you know, get a hold of these brewers that want to express themselves in certain ways, but they're kind of locked down in the brew house and be able to be artistic without putting it in liquid form. But creating imagery that you really like that might not work for a beer, but it'll work on a t-shirt. And another, what we're going to start toying with is creating fake beer.
I created a whole fake brewery just because he's throwing around these ideas.
Just like a design, basically. Yeah,
exactly. You know, like these crazy...
That's interesting.
And that's skate culture influence because there was...
There's a couple clothing brands, skateboard clothing brands. And for people that don't know, the local skate shop in town, Skateology, I rode for a number of years and still do it on free time and stuff. So I also love that culture. It's a lot like craft beer in a different way. But
Now I see how you and Phil from Independent Brewing come together.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he likes the skate culture stuff too.
Absolutely.
Skate culture's dope.
So it's funny. One of these days, since we're drinking a Stillwater beer, I'll plug this. Brian from Stillwater and I are designing a skateboard deck.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, so that should be fun.
That's awesome.
So that's a kind of a side project. But back to the City Cloak stuff. So we want to create crazy beer. I'm talking, Nelson Sauvin dry hopped Imperial Saison brewed with marshmallows. Just something out there. And people...
Someone's going
to
do it now.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, instead of me being inspired by the beers that exist, we want to inspire brewers to brew like these crazy off-the-wall ideas.
Why not?
So that's fun. So May 14th is when it'll be official. We'll have the web store up, and we'll be traveling. If Belgium comes to Cooperstown. You'll see our information in the handbook at the Great American Beer Fest and stuff like that. So
okay.
And there's also going to be an online
shop. Online shop. We'll be at, we've already started like kind of setting up a tour of local and not non-regional kind of... beer festivals and music festivals that we'll be at, which is pretty cool.
So it's called City Cloak.
City Cloak. It's inspired by a few things. Like I said, so at Independent, Phil and I, before the brewery was even open, we got together, developed a recipe, IPA, really, really fruity, just unfiltered. We did Simcoe, Citra, and Galaxy, and then dry hop with Galaxy.
Galaxy being
can't go wrong.
The best hop in the world. Yeah, Galaxy and Mosaic and Citra. It's like everyone wants to use them.
Galaxy was a transformative hop for me. Because I feel like it's the very first hop that I was able to pick out in beer, like, early on, because it's such, like, strong pineapple note.
Yep.
Yeah. And no other hop had it at that point. Yep. And I was just like, oh, my God, now I know that's Galaxy. And that's what got me interested in on the podcast doing the hop knowledge stuff, which I know, Ross, you probably heard. It's actually over, but anyway.
Yeah, I was like, he's like, I think he's almost done here. Would you do, like, Warrior and Willamette?
And Zeus was the final one, even though Zeus is kind of not, but.
Yeah.
Taking a break from the intro stuff on these episodes, but I did some with, recorded with Mark Service, some episodes that'll air prior to these, and we did something interesting, which we can do on the last episode.
Cool.
If you guys want, because it's kind of funny, sweet. Whatever. But anyways, do you have a website yet where people can go and purchase when it's available or just see it if they want to check out what's available?
I mean, there's an event page up for the soft launch. But like I said, we want to make sure everything's done. We want to have physical shirts. So the shirts, and we'll actually be printing while bands are playing on the 7th. Literally, okay. You'll be able to come.
It's a good idea.
Free show.
It's like when you do a brewery tour and you see them brewing the beer back there, mm-hmm. and you're trying the beer. It's the same sort of
exactly. Experience.
You guys should do like package deals too. Like if you buy this T-shirt, then you get this beer along with it.
I don't know about the legality of that, selling it from a print shop.
So, like at the festival,
and that's why we have to give money.
Okay.
I mean, at the festival.
Yeah, I mean, and so we're in the process of talking with three different Maryland breweries about doing collaborations and stuff like that. So we want to take it slow and kind of introduce what we're doing in a, you know, more or less T-shirts, glassware, little tchotchkes.
Okay.
So, you know, look after May 14th, look for the website. Obviously, a huge social media presence and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I guess the my other main project right now would be Ballard Beer Week, which is a 9-day long multi-venue, multi-event kind of celebration of craft beer in our hometown.
Yeah, I remember the first one was last year, and I was like, oh, there's Bel Air Beer Week? That's cool. And that's when I first started hearing about you, Shane, because I was like, how did this come about? And some people were like, oh, this is dude Shane McCarthy. And I was like, oh, man, I should talk to him. I should get him on the show. And then I just, you know, things just fall by the wayside.
Sure, sure.
But here we are. But there were some really cool things because, like, all week it's like, okay, now you're going to have a tap takeover for this brewery at this place, and you're going to have one at this brewery at this place, yeah. All these special events. I will say, though, there were a few instances where it kind of sucked because, I'm going to call them out, Sean Boland's. I went to Sean Boland's when they were supposed to have a Stone Brewing tap takeover, and there was one friggin' Stone beer on tap. That's stupid.
Yeah,
but anyway, not your fault.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, so last year I let people kind of like do their own events,
and it was wildly successful, but it was a little disorganized. Yeah. I mean, I was working for Jailbreak at the time, and it was kind of like there wasn't a lot of communication. Mm-hmm. And now,
well, first year, I mean,
exactly.
The funny part about all of that was I introduced the idea in December, and I started going around to people talking like, "Hey, let's do this." And there's a couple of people that I have good relationships with that were like, yeah.
You can name drop them. You can plug them.
Yeah, you know, like Beer Tekka, obviously, you know, is kind of a craft beer hub for our town. And Scott at McGurk's is obviously trying to change the way people view craft beer while still offering a local family restaurant that's not anything out of the ordinary.
It's not just, yeah. I mean, what a great story that is for McGurk's, like, to... You know, they're doing so much more with craft beer, and they have not alienated anyone of their original base, and they're starting to build a little. It's very similar to what's happened at Rami's. Like,
bring people into the fold. Don't kick people out.
Yes,
exactly. So a lot of people didn't want to get involved and didn't want to. The town of Bel Air was kind of like, you know, what is this? Because I'm just, you know, I don't work for the county or anything, so I'm like this craft beer fan trying to get together.
If a 25-year-old former skate rat that ran a liquor store beer program came to you, and you're like just a Harford County, you know, their hesitation is sort of expected.
No, I can see that. It's just like when I approach breweries about, hey, I'm this dude who does this craft beer podcast. You want to, like, send me beer or you want to talk to me or, you know.
Totally mixed bag, right?
A lot of them are just like, yeah. What? I'm busy. Just go away. But some of them are like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's what I got. But, so when the event was in August, which it's going to stay in August, the first week in August, but a lot of people didn't want to get involved and were like very weird until the last second.
Yeah.
So then you have all these accounts scrambling to plan.
Everyone heard, they're doing it. Bar over there is doing it. Oh, they're doing it too.
Then that's how you play it now. You say, we got these people on board, exactly. You want to be left out?
And that's how the sponsorships are playing this year. Right. Everybody wants a sponsor. Everybody wants to be involved.
Good.
ASAP. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I heard they already sponsored. We need a sponsor.
So last year, the sponsorships were weird because I didn't want to introduce a craft-centric, you know, paying homage to craft beer and like, let's get everybody drink craft beer. I didn't want to be like, oh, well, I need money from you and you and you. So everybody, we made t-shirts and everybody that wanted to be on the t-shirt paid $100 to help. But then they got, I think I gave 10 t-shirts to everybody. So that basically covered their cost of their shirts. Mm-hmm. And then we gave out a bunch of stuff.
Again, with STEM Graphics.
STEM Graphics did that at cost for us because they're craft beer drinkers and they really liked the idea. So then after the event, we had some meetings. And people were like, oh, yeah, that's great. Let's do it next year. And then the Beller Downtown Alliance, which they pretty much...
Nice.
They don't control, but they make sure that businesses in the town of Beller and Harford County are bringing in business and that the town is being productive and things are happening the way they should as opposed to just letting people run wild and do whatever they want. So far this year, I've already raised $13,000 in sponsorships. And all that money will go to, obviously, radio airtime, marketing, signage,
just making giveaways. Sure that these accounts are making the absolute most of their events and getting the most traction. Bel Air is growing as, you know, because it's like, again, I said this last episode, it's like a pretty archetypal, like, cutesy, small town. Like, mm-hmm. People from out of town are like, this is kind of nice. And, like, we kind of think it's boring or, like, see what it's lacking. But there's plenty and, you know, it's getting there. It's just about guiding it in a good direction. Nice.
Well, I have every bit of faith that this year it's going to be better and then it's just going to keep going year after year.
Exactly.
And I'm excited to see what happens. And I will say, here's an idea. I think one of the events you guys should do is blind beer drinking.
Sure.
Have people do blind tasting, even if it's just pay, you know, just like a dollar extra for a beer and you get like a few, like one or two tastes and see if you can pick it. Or buy the mystery beer. You don't know what it is. If you can guess the style, you get X percent off the cost of the beer.
Huh.
Or just do it.
You're an idea man.
Either way. When it comes to craft beer, yeah.
Yeah, I think finding a brewery that is definitely into flavor profiles. One off the top of my head would be Brooklyn. Brooklyn Brewery and Garrett Oliver is definitely very particular about the flavor profile, stuff like that. So having
he
brewery...
makes true to form, true to style.
Exactly. Yeah. And having a brewery do that and sponsor the event. And, you know, if you can guess it in style, you get a keychain and some giveaways and stuff like that. Because the week is supposed to be about beer education. Yes. So I think that would play very well.
Well, here's another idea then. Don't even tie it into the sales of the beer. Have people sign up for an event and make it basically a hosted, curated blind beer tasting. Okay. Where someone kind of goes through it with you and it's like, okay, now here are your beers all lined up. You don't know what they are. Let's all work on this together. Everybody pitch in. What are you smelling out of it? What are you tasting out of it?
Exactly.
And then reveal what it is.
Because you guys clearly are more, like, my palate, I used to smoke a lot of cigarettes. Yeah, like, my I got a thousand other excuses,
and
too.
And you're drinking bleach. And
yeah, but, like, I'm not able to pick this stuff out, but when you guys are sort of...
helping along.
Nudging, and then it's like, all right, I have these context clues, and here's a similar flavor,
right.
And then, like, ah, yes, Ross, you said something productive and accurate.
Unfortunately, it works the opposite way as well sometimes, where people aren't actually perceiving a flavor, but they jump to a conclusion, or they think they are, and they're not perceiving it, and they talk other people into thinking that they get it too, because your initial response is to be agreeable, especially when it comes to something like that. So you really have to put yourself in
check. Well, I'm going to try the other way then. Whatever you guys say as we're about
just to say no to it.
Get into these. Yeah. You guys are idiots.
But anyway, it is that time.
It's about time.
We should get into the mystery beers, but thank you guys for sharing the side projects. Absolutely. People check them out. All right.
This guy first.
I'm going to get the coloration out of the way right now. A looks like an IPA, very orange, kind of clear. B looks like a porter or stout, very dark.
Yes.
Can't see through it.
We are going with two very different.
Yeah.
Unless that's a black IPA, we're going with two very different flavor profiles here.
And it could be. Okay, so A smells like a lot like that Hidden Hop Yard by Manor Hill. A little dial back.
I'm getting, I'm smelling some
age on this hoppy guy.
I was going to say that malt is coming through.
There is some decent maltiness to it, and it does kind of sound or smell. I'm into your music and beer city cloak thing. The sound there is a smell like some hops kind of died down a little bit, which it to me gets a little bit alfalfa-y in its scent. But I do get honey. I get a little bit of a piney quality to it.
The other thing is, and you never know, it could be a double IPA. Because a lot of times double IPAs, they smell like this, and they might be super fresh.
Sweetness is ramped up.
Yeah, they just can't cover all that up with, you know, the aromatics.
There's a lot of sweetness on the nose. Very sugary. Like a citrus sugar. Citrus honey, in a sense.
It's honey, but...
Some honey in there. I mean, there's no honey. You guys are idiots.
Oh, yeah, the other approach.
The malt is just, like, overpowering on the nose.
I think it's going to be a double IPA. I would hope it's a double IPA and not old, just, like, kind of too old IPA single. Yeah.
I'm okay with where the malt is just because there is a decent amount of citrus to it, and there's a... pine, a certain amount of pine that's just below citrus.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of like layered. The malt is way up there, and that's where a lot of that sweetness is coming from. But yeah. I don't know. I'm ready to taste
it. Let's drink this.
Double IPA.
Yeah, probably.
That's been aged a little bit.
That's like a medium body.
Yeah.
Hmm?
It's got almost, this is going to sound weird, and you can just tell me I'm wrong. You get any, like, that very, as it's starting to, like, dissipate out, you get a little, like, cinnamon sharpness in there.
I see where you're going.
Cinnamon's probably not the right thing, but again, it is
kind of like a little bit of a heat to it. Like, cinnamon, straight up cinnamon gives me a little heat kick.
Sure. Oh, is this one of the pepper IPAs?
this could be one of the, like, a habanero sculpin or something.
That's way hotter.
To me, I love that brand, but the Habanero Sculpt is like way. Honestly, they have
good beer. Hop Sculpt and Watermelon Dorado are not good beers.
I thought the Watermelon Dorado was not bad, actually.
I thought Watermelon Dorado was. I guess it's a.
It's
a 10% double IPA with.
Yeah. You have to think watermelon. Like, watermelon's going to make stuff way sweet.
Yeah.
You mean watermelon extract?
What I thought of when I tried it was the Heller High Watermelon by 21st Amendment, and I'm like, this is a shit ton better than that beer. So that was kind of
like 50.
Yeah.
Good point on this, Ross. Though there definitely is that heat to it.
Yeah.
And it just like lingers at the like not quite the back of my throat, but almost the back top. Yeah, that's interesting. But I do get some piney aspects. I get a lot of, you know, honey, malty sweetness to it.
Yeah, I feel like
this is, I'm not making that, like, are we all in agreement? This is probably a pepper beer.
It seems like it. Otherwise, is that coming from the ABV? It seems a little too weird for that.
Yeah. Or some sort of, like, spice in it.
Some of the hop, like, for Mosaic, to me, it gets spicy.
Really?
You know, some hops just have that.
I'm getting right here.
Yeah, no,
it's hitting me in the exact same spot. He was pointing to a certain part of his throat.
I'm right below my unbelievably chiseled jawline, right behind my ears and below. Yeah, I'm just, like, getting it right back there.
I
don't dislike it. I don't love it. It's kind of in the middle for me.
If it is a pepper beer,
it is because I'm getting. Be. You know,
you're getting it too. We all agree.
I'm almost getting it like in, down in the like the chest.
Oh yeah.
Is it? Do we know can or bottle in this one?
It's a bottle.
Bottle. See, we're always looking to cheat.
That's where you need. And this is the thing for me. I feel like the maltiness, the malty sweetness, helps kill that that heat before it gets to be too much.
Now, is there any pepper in the nose?
Not saying that I'm a huge fan of that flavor necessarily, but I think it helps with, you know, making it not too crazy. But anyway.
Now, some of that sweetness could be maybe agave.
Okay.
Ah.
I could see that.
Yeah. We know a lot of nice, a nice theme going on.
Or maybe some mango?
Yeah, I could see. Because the pine and the citrus together.
Sure.
It's like a mango aspect to it, yeah.
Getting it nice and tight.
You're supposed to say no, Ross.
No.
No, I don't.
It's not even a pepper beer.
That's not even a pepper beer now. Who said that? They're an idiot. It was me. I'm an idiot.
Can't even believe yourself.
I'm surprised at how passable this is, because, well, as someone who used to sell a jalapeno IPA, the whole selling point of that was, see how it's not hot sauce, and it doesn't taste as awful as those other ones?
Yeah.
This is in the same realm. It's like...
Scoville was way too much...
Scoville was a lot more green than
Vegetables. Yes. It was just straight vegetables.
Vegetal.
That's what I actually liked about Welcome to Scoville by Jailbreak, is that it was the flavor of jalapenos, but not the heat of jalapenos. Because I like the flavor.
Wow, that is the sales pitch, actually.
Oh, is it?
Well, all the flavor, none of the heat.
Yeah.
Jailbreak, call me, but I'll only work on weekends and only like a few hours, so maybe you don't want it in that case. All right, well, let's go to B. We'll let A sit for a minute.
Side B.
We said this is...
beer mixtape.
There you go.
The music stuff, man.
Like I said, B's real dark.
Side A was Hot Fire.
Yeah, that was a fire mixtape, dude.
What in the hell?
This smells a little bit more lo-fi, a little more garage rock, a little grimy.
Huh.
There's some coffee aspects in there, but...
It's roast. I almost get, like, you know that Schwartz beer-like aromatic where it's, like, roast?
I don't think it's that. I think it's got a little bit more so sweet pie stuff going on.
There's something in there that I can't... There's a weird sweetness in there.
Maple? No. I just threw that out. I don't think that's in there.
What are you trying to do to me? There's a tad bit of a smoky...
There is.
Very, very light smoky quality. I do get a decent, like, coffee.
It's... I mean, once you get your nose down there, it's peaty.
There's a hoppiness in there, though. There's, like, a bit of a citrusy hoppiness.
You think this will be an American stout?
Yeah, it could be.
It's not a black IPA, I don't think.
Honestly, but...
It could be.
Haven't tasted it.
Depending on what hops they use.
The lacing on the glass, I mean, if it was, you know, an American stout, it would be sticking.
More sticky.
Yeah, it would be sticking a little bit.
Yeah, this is a little bit. Can we taste it? Did you taste it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, let's get into it.
It's smoked. That might be another Stillwater beer. That might be Surround.
There's a decent smoky quality to it. There's that coffee note in there.
To me, this is...
That, why did you say that? Dude? You know what? No, now I'm just thinking Stillwater Surround. Is it a 12-ounce bottle? It's Stillwater Surround.
It's very smooth, though.
Evo.
From what you would assume.
Lucky 7.
Yeah.
I'm getting, like, that
blue versus. Cheese. There is a
okay.
tinge of blue cheese on
I ate a bunch flavor. Of blue cheese today, so yeah. Well.
There you go. There's a blue cheese on the finish, which sometimes is bad as far as hops go.
Yeah.
That's what that weird thing was that I was smelling and I couldn't figure out what it is.
It's cheesy. It definitely is that funky, I mean, in a pleasant way, though.
It tastes good.
It is.
I'm about this. I don't know.
Ooh, we might have a split decision.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call the super delegates.
I like super delegates. I like some of the smoky notes. It is a lot smoother than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But that blue cheese aspect, I just don't know if I could drink cheese, you know.
But what if you were eating cheese with it?
Well, it's probably take the blue cheese aspect out.
These are two cool ones to do because, you know, if you're pulling all...
They're odd.
Well, yeah, they're both... I don't think that this this dark one, that B, is that weird, though.
Yeah. And
I mean, neither of them. They're both sort of like...
All right.
Let's get to rating, boys.
Yeah, I need to...
Let's get brutal.
I need to figure... I figure out where I'm going to go on that one.
Someone asked me if I'm ready to rate.
Ross, are you ready to be brutal and rate these beers?
Bonesaw is ready.
That's the Macho Man impression that I was promised. Because that's to rival Dan Kim. Because his impression that I said
Dan Kim beat me in the ring.
Do I feel like, I did one, like, very early in the podcast, like, early episodes, so I feel like maybe I should throw mine out.
Ooh, yeah! Oh, that's a lot more just raspy. It's deep. Guttural.
Oh, yeah, it's deep.
Yeah.
This reminds me when...
It's better than mine.
Randy Savage, I don't know if you ever watched Space Ghost Coast to Coast, but Randy Savage was on there as Space Ghost Dad, and Zorak hit him with a folding chair, and he was like, ooh, what would he say, Deadly, your monkey hit me with a folding chair. Ooh, yeah. Funny.
The cream.
All right, so A, I went back and tasted it. And actually, after having B, I'm perceiving even more heat off of A. So that was kind of interesting. All right. I don't know what to do about A, because I don't love it, but I don't hate it. Three.
I was going to say three, too. It is passable.
Yeah.
I am going to give it a two, because definitely not my favorite. And with the way that the adjuncts were used, and the flavor profile, and the base IPA, because it pretty sure it's an IPA, I would say that's a Flying Dog beer.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
I think it, yeah.
Could be.
Rowena Berry, very localized thing.
Yeah,
honey, this is Flying Dog. It's Stillwater.
I think it's
could be.
I would give it a two.
All right, so B then. B could be a porter, but that cheese.
But that's something. That's a really good palate pulling that out. That it's not like
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That may
I never
that compliment may make me rate this a little higher.
Why don't you just rate me a little hot? Why don't you go look at my YouTube videos? Whoever brewed this had nothing to do with it, man.
I can do that. I can do that. Yeah, this isn't bad. I mean, I'm going to give it a four.
I'm going to have to agree with you. And I have a feeling that I've had this beer plenty of times, and I have a feeling it might be, localized again, Evo Lucky 7.
You think?
I'll say Bell's Porter.
I haven't actually had Bell's Porter.
Guess on Bell's Porter. What are you thinking, Ross, for that, for your rating on B?
I think I'm going to give it a 5, actually.
Okay.
I used to be a dark beer enthusiast, and I feel like that is just good and nice. And if you're into dark beers, you're going to like that a lot.
The other thing is, I actually went up a little bit on what I was originally going to do. I was going to go with a 3, but then after I tried A and then I went back to B, the cheese went away a little bit. I think the heat kind of downplayed the cheese, and so you got lucky, B. A helped you out.
Let's go get, what's a close sub shot? We'll get some jalapeno poppers and the heat and the cheese, maybe.
Alright, so we're going to reveal A, the loser, with an overall 2.67.
But not really a loser. Yeah, just...
I wouldn't have it again, though, personally.
It's not my type of thing, so I couldn't...
I can drink it.
Yeah, I can drink it, but I wouldn't pick something like that up.
Here we go.
See it.
A is... It is Flying
Dog. Whoa!
Oh my God.
Did you say
mango, too?
I knew that's...
We did say mango. Someone said mango.
I think you did.
The sweetness in the beer, so...
Yeah.
So what it is, it's Flying Dog Brewing's Fever Dream Mango Habanero IPA, which is an IPA brewed with habanero spice. Not habanero peppers, habanero spice.
That's why.
And mango added. That's why it's not as hot. 7% ABV.
And it's not old, though. It does come across as a...
Optimal freshness, enjoyed by August of this year.
I mean, just from... Flying Dog released that, what, a month ago? It's not old.
No, and yeah. I think...
But it comes across a little bit.
That multi-sweetness comes from the mango, and I thought it was Flying Dog because of the base beer. I was trying to concentrate on the base beer, and
good call on
honestly,
that.
Their IPAs...
Was it pretty snake doggy?
I'm not a...
Was it a snake in the grass?
Watch out, guys. I've had about 8 ounces of beer now.
I love Snake Dog. That's a great IPA.
I like it if you're watching the A's.
Yeah, they also have it at Caps games, Washington Capitals.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I forgot your... Are you
hockey fan? Wee.
But do you get? I mean, are you a Red Wings fan?
Red Wings and Capitals.
And Caps.
Yeah, that's a long story. I'll tell you off podcast.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, let's see the winner of the episode. Overall, 4.33 is.
Whoa! Ooh, another Flying Dog.
Oh, no, it's Flying Dog's Tropical Stout.
Really?
We had this. Rebecca and I had this on the show not long ago, actually, and I don't even remember what I rated it, but I think it was close. So it's a stout brewed with coconut, pineapple, and natural flavorings.
That's specific.
And the ABV is 6%. And I remember...
Coconut in the nose, now that I've been told.
I remember,
that's the weird sweetness, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when we had it that I was just like, pineapple? Nope. Even after we knew what it was, I was like...
Yeah, I'm still not getting much, even aromatically.
Or coconut. That's hard, too.
The coconut's like a hint. I mean... Here's more power to them. They made a solid stout, and they put a little bit of adjuncts in there, and it probably sold literally 20 times as much as it would have without those adjuncts on the label and in the beer. And it's just a solid beer.
Yeah, if you were to put stout, you know, like, sometimes I think, and from working retail and being a beer drinker, stuff like stout drinkers, and the market's changing, so, you know, don't... Like, hold me down to this, but stout drinkers want stouts. They want chocolatey.
They don't want all this crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like.
But you can reel in, grow the pie, baby. It's like, if I'm a casual, if I'm the type of person that the only, if I'm in Maryland and the only craft beer I drink is occasionally like the pseudo craft from like the big guys, and then maybe a Flying Dog, maybe a Heavy Seas, I see that, I'm like, oh, coconut, mango. I'm sorry, coconut, pineapple?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really a dark beer fan. They'll always say that. But they don't even know what they're talking about. But, oh, I don't like dark beer or anything hoppy.
Yeah.
But they would probably try both of them.
In my opinion, I don't think they'd like the stout.
Yeah.
Because it's not what they want. I mean, you pick up Oscar Blues, not enough
sugar.
By coconut.
Oh, yeah.
And DBC.
Yeah. Then
Shout out to Oscar Blues, doing one of the best coconut beers I've ever had.
It's delicious.
Well, I have to say, I checked real quick, and when we rated this before, I gave it a 3.
Did you give it a 3 again?
No, I gave it a 4, so it got bumped up a little bit, even with the blue cheese.
Beer tastes good.
Yeah, no.
I'd like a nice blue cheese pairing and some celery.
Anyway, we ran a little long. We're going to, you know, cap it off there, and we're going to do one more of these suckers and see what happens. 2 Flying Dog beers, very interesting. So, good job, Flying Dog, and not
solid.
As good job, Flying Dog, I don't know. So, mixed review there. Anyway, we've had a lot of Flying Dog on the show, historically speaking.
They make a lot of beer.
They do.
They sure do.
Yeah. 1 every 10 minutes, so.
So on that note, everyone go ahead and go locate your favorite Flying Dog beer, pop it open, and drink one for us. And until next time, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.